As always, we are about to have sexual intercourse with this chicken.
Yay.
AKA, we're going to start this show. Cluck, cluck, mother trucker. Cluck, 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 goes the squeal. All right. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Two Trolls on a Brew. My name is Samus. He is Travis.
Hi.
That one. I had to click on him so he'll show up on the camera feed. If you would like to partake in a video episode of this podcast, you can check out youtube.com/SamusGarobo. That is where we record from. So sometimes things are a little hanky. Depends on how good everyone's internet connection is and how much Google loves us on any particular given time.
Which it doesn't.
This week's episode... It almost never does. This week's episode... Episode 57, Borgarigamos.
Yeah, just call him Borgie.
And then...
It's like Fergie, except an animal.
Okay. Borgarigamos blows up.
Yeah.
That wasn't the title I had. Wasn't the title I had, but Travis decided to go in and say, forget your plans, sir. Forget your plans indeed.
Yeah.
Subtitle, no point in a subtitle. That's not true.
No,
it
is.
I think these subtitles are very important.
Why? We never talk about them.
Well, they're not there to be talked about. They're just there to...
Then there's no point in them.
To, like, have a 2 seconds... Like, have a 2 seconds as a thought injection.
Well, I mean...
It's just a thought injector.
No. Like, there's
like
no
the fact
point
that we're
in it if we don't...
Right now. The fact that we're discussing it right now, just saying it is the point.
This is the only time that we've, like, talked about the subtitle in forever. So, I mean, really, there's no point in having it.
Well, I have to fill it in the blank when I upload the podcast.
You don't have to.
I think it's a required field. Yeah, actually.
Why?
Because they won't upload the podcast without it.
Who won't?
I don't make the rules. The place that we host the podcast through, Podcast Garden.
So they force us to have a subtitle that's not relevant?
It is the fact that we don't talk about it makes it not relevant. That's all you and I, my friend.
Well, then quit getting distracted.
Who's distracted about what?
You.
Never one time have I ever been distracted. Never have I ever been distracted. Ooh, shame.
Yeah, I have never done coke, so whatever. We can both lie about
I've
stuff.
I've never done coke either. I've drank a coke once. It was nasty. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm waiting for you to come visit the next time so you can swing through Colorado and bring me some special candy bars.
I don't have to go to Colorado. Like, I don't understand where you and, like, Sean have this amazing inability to understand geography. But he asked me to come through Salina on my way to Denver for the GP. Or he asked me if I was going to. And now you want me to go to Colorado to get to Kansas? You guys are asking me to, like, drive 10 hours out of my way just to...
I just want you to bring me a whatchamacallit, Travis. That's all I want.
Go get it yourself.
I can't get my own whatchamacallits.
I'm not going to be your mule. I don't like things in my butt.
Oh, that's not what I hear.
Well, whoever you're talking to.
Mostly your mom.
Oh, all well.
Right. So,
sucks for you.
This week's troll cards. Let's jump into this show. I think that was a good introduction. So first of all, real fast, if you don't like the introductions, you're welcome to fast forward. But I think they're great. They always put a smile on my face, and that's what matters. So troll cards this week. Mirari's Guile. Is that right? Did I say it right? Mirari's Guile. I don't know. And Unnatural Endurance. Which one do you want to talk about first, buddy?
Let's talk about yours so I can finish my deck.
I know. You're busy putting a deck together. Okay. Sounds good. So Unnatural Endurance is a one black mana for a devoid instant. Target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn and regenerate it. This thing I think is an incredibly undervalued card in the current meta. I think I'm also talking about drafts. We did a, what is this? Oath of the Gatewatch, Battle for Zendikar draft this last week. And Unnatural Endurance is just a powerhouse. And it kind of got me thinking about the different human decks that are floating around right now in Standard.
Okay.
And I don't know if they really still are. And the possibility of making them red or making them black white, because most of them are like white, mostly white, splashing red.
Right.
And I think a lot of the problems I have with these decks is they just don't have the reach that a lot of decks can get. And I think a card like Unnatural Endurance, it does double duty, right? Like, first of all, for a single black mana, you can kill a creature. For a single black mana, you can save your own creature. And for that same single black mana, you can kill a creature and save your creature. Like, it's just an incredibly powerful card. If you had another card out there that had three modes on it, it said choose one and had, you know, kill a creature, regenerate your creature, or choose both for a single black mana, would you play that card? Like, it seems like that card would be insanely powerful, right?
Yeah.
But here this card is, and no one seems to play it. Like, creature combat is very important. And then part that's not getting played. And I wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit because of a deck that I put together roughly and sent to you. Basically, as I was debating about this, I thought about it for a couple of days and I sent you a quick deck list. And we'll probably talk about it a little bit later. So this card in particular, if you're in black and you're playing a creature-based deck, you should probably strongly consider this card. Hano, do you have any feelings one way or the other about this card? Like,
I don't really.
I know when I sent you the deck list, you thought the deck list sounded good, looked good. I think
right.
It was built because I built that deck around this card.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if it has the potential to blow up and you can build around it correctly, I think it'd be good, but if you can't do that, then...
Well, and I think that's part of the reasoning here. There's just so many things that... Like, right now, in my opinion, the big decks have a lot of destroy effects or damage for removal. And this could also say counter target or whatever. I don't know, I think this is an undervalued card right now, and I wanted to highlight it this week. Are you done screwing around with your stuff?
Nope.
Can you tell me about your card yet?
Nope.
You're going to make me gather it so I know what this card is?
Sure, go for it. Okay, so the reason I chose Mary's Guile this week is it has a lot to do with the title of the show. So this FNM, we didn't, like, nobody in the group that I normally, you know, play with, we decided not to play FNM and instead just build or buy one of the new commanders and play it straight out of the box. So,
okay.
on Friday. And then I got really salty about it because I was being targeted even though I wasn't actually doing anything relevant to the game. Because I was playing the group hug deck, except none of the pieces were fitting together. And basically I was being attacked for letting everybody draw cards.
Right.
And so I got salty and was like, all right, let's play a different game. They didn't want to because I pulled up a Borgamos and everybody is just like afraid of the deck because it blows up. So I went and joined a different group and I basically took out my salt on them. you know, because because they were unaware. They all knew that they all knew the deck, but they didn't know how much damage it could do. And basically, on the last turn of the game, it was I had on the field Borgamos, like 12 lands, Swiftwift Boots. That's the one that gives them haste and hexproof, and Miri's Guile.
Well, let's actually real fast before you get too carried away. Let's talk about Miri's Guile real fast.
All right.
So one green mana for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may look at the top three cards of your library and then put them back in any order.
Yes.
All right, so go. Continue.
All right, so basically the entire game, I was just sitting there not really doing anything because unless I have an explosive start, that's basically what the deck does until I can just, you know, take everyone out. And right. So Miri's Guile, it was basically just letting me ponder every turn, you know, without the draw or the shuffle, but still, that's the best way I can explain it. So it was basically
on top.
Yeah, like the card that I want is always going to be my draw for the turn. And
correct.
So the turn that I won, the control player was tapped out. So that's when I knew I had to basically do it, you know, this turn or not at all. So the card I put on top was Keen Sense. Do you know what that one is? You know what it is?
Okay. That's the card that lets you draw cards when it does combat damage to a player, right?
Not combat damage, just damage.
Oh, just says damage?
Yeah, just damage. So I put that one on top, and when I put it on top, you know, I drew it for the turn, and then I set up the card order so that way I knew what I was going to draw next when he did damage, and then I knew what I was going to throw in the graveyard, which is incredibly relevant. So the first dude that I took out, he was at 16 life. He had 16 life left. And so I attacked him with Borgamos. I drew a card off of the Keen Sense. And then I revealed the top three with Borgamos' effect. And I put three lands into my hand. All right. So
I'm with you.
After that, I discarded a land to draw a card. I did that three times. And I killed the guy. And I still had two lands left in my hand. And then I went to the next person where I hit him twice. I drew a land and a Snake Umbra. And Snake Umbra is basically Keen Sense, but it also makes a creature stronger, and if it would die, instead just throw the Umbra to the yard.
Right. It rescues the creature.
Yeah. So I was doing that. So every time I discarded, or every time I, you know, I discarded a land, I would draw two essentially. Which, you know, that's pretty good odds. But then right. After all that, ended up not drawing enough lands. So I had a card. It's called Creeping Renaissance, which you name a permanent type and return all cards of the type chosen from your graveyard to your hand.
So you just like regrow all your lands.
So I put all the lands back in my hand, and then after that, I just threw them all back at the rest of my opponents, and we did the math on it, and in one turn, he did approximately 124 damage.
Have we ever posted your Boro, Borgamas, Boro, Boogiedamas, Boogie?
The Boogeyman. Let's just call him the Hulk. I don't think we have. But that's what I've been working on for the past, you know.
Like, this has been your commander deck for like 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah, it's been my deck for, yeah, I'd say about 2 years, which, if anybody knows me, that is an incredibly long time in my life. Because I tend to just shuffle decks around and play different things, but this has probably been the only deck that I have actually played and liked and wanted to keep playing.
Yeah, like I said, have we ever posted a full deck list?
Nope, but I am finishing up now.
Is that what you're working on? So yep. Travis wanted to make when we started, he made a big deal about how he was going to be putting a deck together on MTG Goldfish for us that we can grab a nice screenshot and put that all up on the website for you guys, samusgrable.com. And I kind of had the feeling that this was probably what was going on because, like I said, I didn't think we had posted one before. And this is definitely something that you have tootled with for quite a while. It's a deck that runs, it's almost all lands, right? Like, isn't it like 50 some lands?
Yeah, it's 51 lands, I believe.
Yeah, so it's half lands.
Yeah.
And then a little bit. Which is pretty weird for like a deck in general, but for a commander deck even, that I think is double weird.
Chris every now and like, but I mean, you know,
but
it is what it is.
Essentially every land is a lightning bolt though, right? Like you discard a land and you lightning bolts?
Yeah. Yep, discard a land, 3 damage to a creature or player. And
so every one of those lands basically says, you know,
tap every land mana says,
or turn lightning bolt.
Yeah, every land says lightning bolt.
Right. So, I mean, it makes sense that you would have, I mean, if you could play, you know, 10 lightning bolts in commander or 50 lightning bolts in commander, they'd probably be pretty strong, let alone if they could, you know, tap for spells.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing this list. Current MTG price tag, according to MTG.
Yeah, it's up there.
Oh, is it? I was kind of expecting it to not be very high.
I didn't realize it was expensive until I typed all this out.
Started plugging it in.
Yeah. So.
Well, give me a working total. I'm curious.
Currently, off of MTG Goldfish, on paper, it's $430.
That's not bad for a commander deck.
Right. I think that has a lot to do with what the fuck's wrong with this thing.
Oh, well, there's your one F-bomb. So, a second one, we're no longer PG-13.
This is stupid. I don't understand. How do I...
Tell me. Ask me your question. I'll give you some answers.
It's saying I can't submit the deck without a commander. So I put Borgmos in the command area, and then do I put him in the sideboard?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never tried to submit a commander deck on MTG Goldfish.
Me either.
Maybe if we clicked on the metagame, we could find it. Or if you just grab a screenshot.
Let me just do that.
Yeah, in commander, they have there's must be a slot that says commander.
What the crap?
Anyway, we'll try to get that screenshot up for you guys so you can check it out. Real fast, what did you think of the new pre-con commander things, the new commander 2016 deck?
I really enjoyed them. I think they are incredibly fun and they're really well built. They also have quite a few rares in them. Like, I did not expect there to be that many rares in the deck.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of positive things about them myself. I'll probably get them eventually, but the arena, for example, we run a deal where it is like $30 a deck or $125, I think, for all five.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do a little saving and just get them all at once. But I don't know. They look like a lot of fun. Remington is – he loves Commander infinitely more than I do. I still don't get it personally. I've never really gotten it. The closest thing I've ever got to understanding Commander would be when basically I was able to build my – what's the goblin that's a planeswalker that you can use as a commander? It does, like, goblin –
Duretti.
Yeah, Duretti. Like, he's the only guy I've ever really – I don't want to say connected with because it sounds a little gay, but in the idea behind a commander, because I like doing stuff like Penavis tricks and Penavite tricks and stuff like that. But he's about the only one that I really have ever built around. And I don't think my version of the deck is very good. I think that's a big part of my problem. But maybe I can take some inspiration from our next deck, the card around the next deck for our next topic. Are you ready to move on?
Yeah.
So I know you're going to GP Denver.
Yep.
But I think it's kind of soonish, right? Isn't it before Christmas?
Yeah, it's the first 3 days of December.
The first weekend in December. So we're talking about 2 weeks away, basically.
Yeah.
And I believe it is standard, right? So a lot of love right now this week is going to the Marvel deck in standard. And if it's starting to get love now, people will probably be buying into it pretty soon. And then it will be a matter of, are you ready to defeat such a deck? How much have you looked at this deck? Have you looked at it at all? Are you familiar with it as a concept?
Nope.
Okay. Are you familiar with the key card, Aetherworks Marvel?
Maybe.
I know we've talked about it in the past. Okay, well then, let's hit it up. Aetherworks Marvel is a 4-mana artifact. Whenever a permanent you control is put into a graveyard, you get an energy. Pay 5 energy, or 6 energy and tap it. And you look at the top 6 cards of your library, and you may cast a card from them without paying their mana cost. Really, these decks run like a bunch of big fatties, like Immercools or Ulamogs or whatever. Right? In this case, the deck that's making the rounds right now are 4 Immercools and 3 Ishkanas as the main deck. And then it's running like a bunch of Chandra, Torch of Defiance, Kozilek Return. Like, this is basically the deck. It's just goldfish you out until I take your turn and then try to kill you with my Frample here. I don't know. I really like the idea behind this deck. I'm not sure how consistent it is. But I think every deck that's going to be seriously competitive in the standard format for the next couple of weeks needs to have a plan for this deck. So how would we go about trying to counteract something that is a 4-mana artifact with a tap ability as long as there's energy? Essentially, it's a 4-mana spell that says pay 4 generic mana, burn 6 energy, cast something ridiculous off the top here.
So there's a few people here in town playing the Tamir version, you know, the one with blue.
Right.
And I found the best way to destroy the deck is with Lost Legacy.
Their their win cons.
Yeah.
Like Lost Legacy, their Immercool's in, their Ishkana is out.
Yeah. You Lost Legacy calling anything that cost more than 6 mana. Like, that's the way to beat it.
Have you narrowed down a deck for Denver yet?
Yeah, I'm playing a Big Red.
Okay, so how's your Big Red deck going to deal with this deck?
That's a good question.
Okay, this is why I ask, because I want you to tell me how you did well in Denver. Because can you race this? I don't think so, right? Like,
well, and okay, so with the deck that I'm running, it has the Aether Hubs, and I'm thinking about splashing black simply for the Aetherworks deck, and it won't even affect my mana base at all because black-red, like the Smoldering Marsh, and I can play Smoldering Marsh on turn one. It won't affect me. Because my deck normally starts blowing up on turn two. Or it starts gaining momentum on turn two, I should say. Turn three, I normally cast the Chandra. So
what about, I mean, Lost Legacy, it's black, black, and one, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about splashing for a double black spell?
Yep.
Honestly, man, I wish there was a better way to stop this thing.
That's the only way that I've been able to stop that and the graveyard deck is just bring in Lost Legacy, call the stuff that can be recurred, and then they just hope to beat Elder Deep Fiend.
Or what I miss right now, I really, really miss Pithing Eagle.
Yeah?
Like, Pithing would be so good in this format right now.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it's not here.
Let's see, what else is there? It's... No, that won't work. I'll just say Deadlock Trap can stop them from attacking, but that also requires you to have energy.
Right. And there's not like a good way to... Because there's not like an arrest type enchantment that says target artifact can't use its abilities, right? I think there is. But you'd still be talking about trying to play something on your turn as opposed to what is essentially a 4-mana sorcery.
What's that thing? Where is it at? I'm looking.
Okay. Well, nope, I see that you got your book out. Just, like I said, this is a deck right now that I don't think has an easy counter. But you definitely have to have a plan for. Even something like Appetite for the Unnatural isn't going to get it done. Like, you may have to run the blue in your big red deck and just be able to bring in, what's the 1-mana blue spell that counters a, colorless spell? You may have to run that. You may have to run, you know, some other tempo counter. I mean, I can't think of a 2-mana counter that would stop this. Cause the only 2-mana counter I can think of counters a non-artifact spell.
Right.
I guess you could counter the Imrakul when they cast with the cast trigger because it plays the spell.
Right.
But at least they wouldn't have the 13-13 to smash you in the face with, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you need to think about it. Like I said, I have the feeling it's going to be a very popular. I'd be surprised. 12 to 15% of the metagame.
Right.
When you're talking about a 15-round tournament, you know, you're talking about hitting the deck probably twice. And I have the feeling that as the numbers, because it is such a strong deck, unless something comes out between now and then, that really just kind of reshapes the format. I have the feeling that this is just going to become more and more of the triangle as you make your way to the top tables.
Right.
Or, you know, when you troll people and go 0-2 and just troll everyone for the rest of the day, like maybe, or the rest of the tournament, maybe you won't have to worry about it as much, but doing well at the tournament, they definitely need to have a plan for this deck. It's really too bad that you can't run like the mana denial plan on this deck.
Well, just like, destroy their lands?
Could. Well, blow up a non-basic land, right? And then go look for their deck, or look through their deck and get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Like, if you blow up Aether Hub and Game Trail, then their deck really suffers, right? And so many decks are running Aether Hubs right now.
Right.
Like, the Crumble to Dust, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Is that the old version of the deck, or old version of the card?
No, it's Crumble to Dust. Okay. The old version is So it's old.
But, like, Crumble to Dust may even be a good enough card is a main deck card, and then be able to pull it out just to deal with the other decks that we're going to get to later, for example, that run things like Westfell Abbeys, Manlands, so on and so forth. If you're in the big red deck, I just don't know if it's good enough. I'm really curious to see what your thoughts are going to be next week as you are getting closer.
Right.
Like, because I feel like my job as someone who's not going to GP Denver is to poke holes at your deck until you figure out answers for things.
Yeah. And I have people that I'm playing with that are actually taking it seriously. So, I mean, I can force one of them to build the deck and we can see what its play up is like.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it because, like I said, I just don't think that... Because I think both your decks are running your own different game plans. And if you... I think this deck will beat you in the race, essentially. So let's talk about another deck. Let's talk about something for Remington here.
By the way, I posted the link.
Awesome. So what I'll do is we have a couple people hanging out as viewers, so I'll throw it into the group chat, as well as I will get a picture and post the link on the website. Thank you for sending a link, by the way, and not just, hey,
you're
I
welcome.
Posted a deck.
Joe. Yeah, you're welcome. Hint, hint.
All right, so I want to talk about this other deck that I found on Channel Fireball earlier today. Because I don't read every website every day. So actually, this deck was posted last week. I know. But I saw the title and I went, oh, I'll check this out. And I started thinking, wow, this is something that Remington would probably really, really love. Because Remington did way out of his way to pick up a playset of Decimator of the Provinces.
What
I don't know if you
that?
Know this. Do you not know? Okay. So this is a 10 mana. This is a 10 mana 7/7.
Okay.
But it has a merge. Okay, it has a merge for green, 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 and 6.
Oh, he's the overrun.
He's the overrun guy.
Gotcha, the big and pig. Now I
played Magic, if you've ever played with Remington, there's nothing he loves more than life gain except overrun.
Right.
Overrun's the only other thing that he loves more in life than life gain. So, I don't remember exactly what he traded for at Gen Con for a couple of these, but I remember thinking at the time, like, well, close. And, like, now, we were talking about it the other day. I'm like, hey, don't we have some of these? And he's like, no, I traded them for Decimator of the Provinces at Gen Con. And I'm like, no, like, $80 difference or whatever. Like, it wasn't really $80 difference. But he traded, like, the equivalent of $10 cards for, like, this $2 card now.
Nice.
And I'm like, ah! So, so anyway, this deck is Decimator of the Provinces, Brood Monitor, Scion Summoner, Eyeless Watcher, Duskwatch Recruiter, Catacomb Shifter, Loam Dryad, Sylvan Advocate, Weaponcraft Enthusiast, which I think is an exciting card. To be fair, this is a 0/1 for a black and two generic, but it's got Fabricate 2 on it. So it's three bodies, right? And it doesn't have Defend or anything stupid. So it's three bodies for three mana. Two of them are 1/1s and one of them's an 0/1. But if you're overrunning, you don't care, right? Like, you sacrifice this thing to the pig. You pay, like, a bunch of generic mana to get your pig out, and you go to town. This also runs Cryptolith Rite and Zendikar Resurgent. I'm not so sure about Zendikar Resurgent, but you may have to have it just to have the additional card draw and the extra mana to play these stupid-ass spells.
Okay.
Because Decimator of the Provinces is not a or not a legend. So you could do two if you wanted to.
Right. You know what you
I've not seen a more Remington deck since you have sent me your original Aether Hub deck.
Yeah.
But I can't seem to get to work.
Yeah, me either. I just set that to the side. I think that deck needs to be mono white.
I said that before, but trying to do the artifact version of it I think was really strong, but I can't seem to get it to work at all.
Right. So with the deck that you just showed me.
Right. Which I will also stick the deck list or a link to it in the show notes.
Just do the share screen for the people watching right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. I could do that. That's a good call. Share the screen, mother trucker.
So, with this thing...
Oh, I better lock it on my screen while you're talking. All right, go ahead.
So, with this thing... Because I saw another pig deck. And... It was a lot different than this, because it had the creatures that ramped, not made the scions that ramp, but they actually ramp spells. There's a 2-drop. It costs a colorless and a green. It's a 0/3. When it dies, you get a land out of your deck.
Yes, I've seen a lot of them play that as well.
Okay, so there's that one, and then the 4-drop one that when it comes in you fetch for a land. But I think this one...
I don't like that card at all.
I think this one's better.
You know why this one's better?
Because
of this.
Oh, I was going to say because of colorless.
No, because of the Cryptolith Rite. Cryptolith Rite is the best ramp spell you can imagine for a deck like this,
right,
where you're making two creatures for every spell.
Right, minimum 2 creatures.
Right, exactly.
Like,
only creature in this entire deck that's one creature, really, is Sylvan Advocate and Loam Dryad.
Right, and the Decimator.
And the Decimator, but really, he's there to finish the game. Technically, Dustwatch Recruiter is, but since it allows you to look at the top cards, I wouldn't necessarily consider it a... one creature. I'm going to give this deck to Remington. Spoiler alert. And I think he will build this thing faster than any other deck I've ever asked him to put together.
Right.
I think this is if there's ever been a deck to scream Remy more than this, I don't know what it is.
Now, if only there was a way to give all those creatures lifelink.
There probably is. Think of the white the white guy who when an ally enters the battlefield.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he could splash white for one of those of that guy and be like, bam, pig with 8 dudes. Now I'm gonna play my 3-mana dude to give everybody lifelink. Or there's also the white sorcery, a colorless. It says whenever a creature attacks this turn, it gets lifelink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessary. I think he just wins the game instead. But surprise me if these kind of cards make their way into Remington's deck.
Right. I don't know. I really like the concept behind this, especially if you like sacrifice the, I don't know, just the
brood sacrifice monitor. Like the, ideally sacrifice the weapon craft and through the enthusiast to the decimator of promises, or a brood monitor is really good. I think you could also really easily sneak in the white mana that Eldrazi Displacer, slide in a couple of Eldrazi Displacers, and you could put like two of the Zillicort Cutthroat.
Yeah.
So you have like multiple angles of attack with a deck like this. I think it's very easy that you could do that. Like instead of running Sylvan Advocates, which I think are great, on a two of each package, or even a three and two package.
Mm-hmm.
And you can run the combo. If you're already running Brood Monitor, you already have, you know, basically rainbow mana because you're relying on the Cryptolith Rites. If you were to cut the Zendikar Resurgent, that would give you, and the Sylvan Advocates, that would give you five slots for a three and two combo, super easy. And then you shake out like one swamp for one plains. Or maybe instead of the Evolving Wilds and a forest, you run two of the lands that are white and green, and boom, you're off to the races. The hardest part is that the only way for you to use the flicker effect on the Eldrazi Displacer is to sacrifice a Scion. There is no other colorless. I guess Westfall Abbey makes colorless mana,
but. If you have the cutthroat, then it all works out.
Well, exactly. Like I said, it gives you the combo. Then with stuff like Duskwatch Recruiter to help dig through your deck, and Catacomb Shifter to scry, you could easily find if you had to go that way. You could probably find it. So I don't know. I said, I have a feeling I'll have him put this thing together. We'll put those cards in the sideboard and we'll fiddle with it and see what he thinks. But
and force him to play FNM this week.
We've actually had a lot of luck with the Friday Night Magic's firing reasonably well.
Oh!
I'm a little bit worried about the showdowns. What? Tell me.
I finally took first at a draft.
Oh, you did tell me. I was going to ask because, you know, we hadn't had a chance to talk about it yet, but you sent me a message, Monday? Monday night?
Yeah.
That you took first at the draft. So what did you do, and how come you're stealing all of my luck?
So remember how I told you that the key to winning the draft is Reckless Fireweaver?
Yes.
Okay, so I went off of that knowledge of me doing that before, and I drafted three Reckless Fireweavers.
Okay.
Six Puzzle Knots.
Okay, the red Puzzle Knots, or just any Puzzle Knots?
I had two of the green ones, two of the black ones, a red one, and a white one.
Okay, so just any color, you didn't care.
Exactly. I just grabbed all the Puzzle Knots, but I was specifically going after green because I need to stabilize.
Right.
Then I grabbed two underdogs of the entire format, Workshop Assistants. By far, one of the best commons in limited.
Okay.
If you have multiple.
Or the other one.
Yep. So
one,
I got
two, three.
I got two of those. I ended up getting two Whirlwind Virtuosos.
Okay.
The pay three energy, make a Thopter.
Right.
Which worked really well with the green Puzzle Knot. And then, let's see, I got the 6/6 Leviathan that you pay 8 mana to bounce. What's that? Right.
I said the one you pay a bunch of energy to return all permanents.
Yeah, to return all not him to their owner's hands.
As a
sorcery. Right,
as a sorcery. That's the biggest thing to remember about that card in particular, is that its ability is as a sorcery.
Yeah.
Remington lost the draft because...
Yeah, well, it's a powerhouse. But then...
He's like, oh, I didn't realize, right? I just would have put all your ship book in your hand. I'm like, well, you should have did that anyway, son.
Yeah. And then Pia Nalar.
It's bombs.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you
even by
say
herself...
You draft all the bombs.
But the only bombs that I drafted was the Leviathan and Pia. Everything else was, with the exception of the Whirler Rogue, or the Whirler Virtuoso, everything was
a bomb too.
Everything was a common. And I didn't even bring the Leviathan in until the last game, until the last round. He was sitting in my sideboard the entire time.
Yeah.
That's how much,
yeah, that
much of a
weird.
Difference. It wasn't necessary. I had a mono red deck that I was splashing the other four colors to play.
But a mono red deck with all these splashes.
So I was running a mono red deck with the exception of the Virtuoso. And then the Virtuoso and Aether Trade Winds. Those were my only two blue cards. Everything else, the mana was only used to activate the Puzzle Knots. And it's just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds like it was good.
Yeah. So,
note
to anyone that's listening. If you want to win, just get all the puzzle knots and at least 3 Fire Weavers.
Okay. Keep that in mind.
I only lost one game
last week.
Fire Knight.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just on my mana's bad streak.
That's why you get the black puzzle knots.
Even then, I don't know. There's been something that's been wrong with me lately, and I think it's just a matter of, like I said, I cannot get my mana base right now.
I think I know.
I'm not sure what it is. Even in a monocolor deck, I've either had not enough mana or I've flooded out one of the two.
I know what the problem is. You need to travel. Go to Hayes. Play in a different tournament. That'll fix your mana issues.
You think?
Yeah.
I'll have to try, maybe. I don't know. I was going to go to the Hayes tournament this last weekend, but it's too far. I actually sat down to ask Chris McMahon. He's a gentleman who drives around and travels to these tournaments. And because I was going to go with him if he was going, but he was unable to go to that one. So neither did I.
So let me ask you something. How are you going to live in a tiny home?
Because I will always be home.
But you'll always be traveling, too.
I don't care if I'm traveling. I just hate being away from home.
Why?
I just hate it.
Why?
I just hate it.
You have to
I just want to be home.
Why?
I just want to be home.
That doesn't make
sense. I can't explain it to you. It's the entire reason why I want to get my tiny house. And I want it to be a bus, because I just want to be able to drive until I'm tired of driving. And I just want to park someplace, and then I'm home. Like, my distance from traveling to home is 0 seconds. Like, I pull over, and I park, and I'm home. Does that not make sense to people? Like, I don't mind the traveling part. I don't mind being in I do mind being in the car park. But I'm hoping in the bus it'll be less of an issue. Problems traveling in a bus before. Just in cars, particularly. I think I have a little bit of claustrophobia when it comes to being inside of a car. But for me, it's a matter of, all right, I'm this far away from home, and I have to, if I'm going back, I'm this far away from being back. I have someplace I need to be. My animals are there. You know, I have all these responsibilities at home that need to be taken care of, and I just want to be home. Where if I'm a little turtle and I can put my home on my back and walk around and just poof, I think I'd be much better shape. And that would definitely help me do things like the GP scene, right? Like, I hope in 2 years to be a regular on the GP scene. Hopefully more things, but I'll start with GPs and see where it goes from there. But if I could spend 2 weeks traveling to GP Denver, for example, like, let's pretend I was in this perfect situation and I had my tiny house bus ready to go. I left from Salina, Kansas, and it took me 2 weeks to hit different cities between here and Denver. But I was home every single night. Travis is like nodding his head like, no! But like, I like that idea. Like, okay, I'm going to travel. I'm going to stop in Hayes for the night. You know? And maybe screw around Hayes or bum around Hayes for a day. And then drive to someplace just over into the Colorado border. And then stop for a couple of days. Screw around. Drive up into the mountains and screw around for a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? Like, take a couple of, you know, take a long time to like get where I'm going. But I think for me, that's the kind of environment I need to make long distance traveling. But that whole time I'm always home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You're still planning on coming down this summer to work on your van, right?
Right. But I'm not doing it so I'm talking about. I'm just doing it because I don't like being in a home.
Like, my things are here. The things I feel are important are here at home. Like, my pets, my wife, my plants, my, you know, my creature comforts, so, like, my magic cards, my artwork.
For me, my only real creature comfort is magic. Like, I can do without everything else because I have books on my phone. I have, you know, all my magic cards. The only thing that I can't, like, if I was just to, you know, get up right now and just go backpacking, I could take everything with me except my computer. And that, I don't even care. Like, I plan on just leaving my computer with my sister and be like, here, you have it now.
But see, you're also like a single guy, where I am a married man with a son. We have pets. Like, you don't, as far as I know, you don't have any pets.
I don't. My sister does.
Sure. But they're not your pets. I have a dog that I adore.
It'll be gone eventually.
I've got ducks that I love. My ducks are going to be problems. Like, when I move to the tiny house, I'm going to have to find a place to take care of my ducks.
Put them on the roof.
Hopefully my mother will take them. I mean, it would be fine except for the driving at 60 miles an hour.
They love the wind. Why else would they fly?
These aren't flying ducks. Have you seen my ducks? They look like little bowling pins. That's probably true. They would probably fly around the lot inside the cage I built on top of my...
Put a tarp over it.
Tarp over it. Yeah, that's a good idea. You're the best.
You're welcome.
Let's go back to something you're actually good at, like magic.
What, not planning?
Or at least moderately good at. I've never once ever said the words, you're good at planning, Travis. Not one time.
Yeah, neither have I.
Thank you, Nathan, for sending in a deck list for us this week.
I love it.
We appreciate it. He sent us a mono black control list. And I think this incorporates a lot of stuff we were talking about last show. But I really like it. So let's kind of hit this. Crypt Breakers, Gaunti, Thought Not Seers, Reality Smashers, Nauseous Gearhulk, Descended Mindbender, Tope, The Ob Father. Harsh Scrutiny, Transgress the Mind, Lost Legacy, Murder, Essence Drain, Lands.
All right, here's what I would change.
I've got some comments, though. Yeah, go ahead. Hit us. What do you think?
Take out the Essence Drain for the...
I don't think it's Essence. I don't think Essence Drain is the right one. I think he's got the 3-mana one.
That does 3 damage and you gain 3 life?
Yeah, but I think it's called Essence something, and he probably just typed in Drain and it matched.
Yeah, okay. Well, in that case, never mind. Keep it as is.
Okay, because I don't think Essence, whatever. That Essence. Fucking spell. I don't think that spell is legal.
He's thinking I think of that extraction.
Yes, he is thinking extraction. Thank you. So these are a couple of my comments here real fast. One, I don't like murder in this environment. If double black is not a problem for you, which a colorless or a mono black obviously isn't going to have any problems, then run the -4, the Grasp of Darkness, the -4/-4. I just think it's going to catch more things more consistently. It costs less mana, and you don't have to worry about it. The other thing that I was looking at here, you have 14 spells, right? Right now, I am high on the... what's the artifact... That when you play a spell, instant or sorcery, you get 2 mana and it lightning bolts?
Dynavolt Tower.
Dynavolt Tower? Yeah. I'm high on that card right now, and I think it's good. And I think it's strong. The other thing is here, you've got 8 creatures that you want to play on curve that require butthole mana, have 6 butthole mana.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not enough to play these creatures in this number. So you need more butthole mana.
A different thing instead of, like, just to make more butthole mana, there's the Blighted Fins that are still legal. Which is another...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's removal. It's pseudo-removal.
That would be an excellent choice in this.
For main board, I wouldn't even put Harsh Scrutinies in main.
I think I like them in the main deck. Because it gives them a 1-mana play besides Crypt Breaker. I was actually going to say I don't care for Crypt Breaker without some sort of card advantage engine going on in here. Like, yeah, you have Obnixilus as a little bit of card draw. And I guess if you get the Crypt Breaker going, you can consider this card draw.
But considering you're only zombie.
Right. Like, you're discarding 2 other cards before you can draw 1. I think you need something to net you some extra card advantage. I'm not really sure what you want advantage engine to be. If you want to be something like Live Fast? Or if you want something like the instant speed one. I probably would want the instant speed one in this deck just so I can keep up my removal spells.
Succumb to Darkness?
Yeah. But I don't know. I like a lot of stuff about it. I really like the way this thing is looking. With those few exchange, I would definitely swap the murders out for the -4/-4.
I
definitely add some butthole mana.
I would take out the Distended Mindbender for the demon. The Demon of Dark Schemes.
Demon of Dark Schemes. Oh, the negative.
Yeah. When he comes into play, all creatures get -2/-2 till end of turn. And whenever a creature dies, you get an energy. So then you can pay, 3 mana and energy or something, and you get a creature from a graveyard into play under your control.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's mono black, so you're not going to have an issue getting to the black. But I would take out the Distended Mindbender for that.
The Distended Mindbender to the sideboard?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because the Mindbender is just another form of... It's just a mind rot.
Yeah, but you get to pick something less than three and more than three, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's less than four and more than four. I don't know.
Right.
But I like it a lot, especially considering you can use something like a Gande Lord of Luxury or a Thought Not Seer to like sneak it out early.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do really like it. But I can kind of, I see your points. I would probably agree that you could slide one of those in somewhere. But, like I said, I would definitely start with switching out that murder and see how it plays. I don't know if I'll get to catch Nathan today. I'm pretty packed, but I might be able to swing over and hang out a little bit tomorrow. And
I also don't think you're that strong.
Or to throw him.
Yeah.
So I was doing 215 yesterday on my incline benches.
Nice.
I'm getting there. This fatty is going to get there. I know, I was pretty pleased with this deck list. I would check it out. I would try it. It had a little bit more of a price tag on online than I would like.
That's because of the lilies.
Probably. Well, like, the other thing I want to talk about just briefly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if it wasn't for not having lilies, I'd run a mono black deck. But I mean, any more in this format, it seems like you almost need a Planeswalker or something with equivalent bomb value. And with black, there's really not much that has equivalent bomb value.
That's where I really think this, for me, maybe it's part of the reason why I'm so drawn to the Dynavolt Tower. Like, to me, it just feels like the most powerful thing you could be doing in like a mono blue control deck or any like heavy spell based deck. Like
right.
It is that Planeswalker that right. is so hard to deal with. I mean, at first it just nets mana or nets advantage. But then when it starts to go off, all of a sudden you can either basically kick her a spell to the face or kick her an extra 3 points of damage to the face. Or you can, you know, you're getting extra value from your removal spells to take and get two removal spells a turn, or you sit there tapped out. They can't really attack with their man land because they don't think about the Dynavolt Tower until it's too late. Like, there's just so much value out of that thing that I'm super impressed with it. So I'm constantly going right back to it. So, real fast, I'm going to try... I'm going to try, huh?
42.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to start hopefully streaming Magic on Mondays again. I'm going to try getting into Pauper decks. A friend of mine, LJ, that from our Dungeons and A-Hole stream, has started doing Mondays whenever there's not like a football game that he wants to watch or something important, some other prior plans. He's going to start playing Magic on Mondays, and he has, I don't know, offered's the right word, but how about threatened to purchase me a, and you know the rule. If someone is generous enough to donate me a deck, I'm going to play it for them. So I'm going to start hopefully getting to the Pauper meta, and the deck that I'm most drawn to right now is called Koldutha Boros. It is built around this idea of using different creatures that bounce artifacts or permanents when they enter the battlefield. So things like Glint Hawk and core Skyfisher.
Yeah.
And then recycles these interesting come-into-play abilities like Ichor Wellsprings, Prophetic Prism, Mole Drifters. And then, of course, it also runs a four of a sorcery that I'd never – I missed the first time it was around, but I'm really excited to get a chance to probably play it on Magic Online. Kadutha Reborn? Rebirth?
Yes.
I'm sure I'm not saying it right. But it's a one mana sorcery as an additional cost, sacrifice an artifact, 1/1 red goblin tokens into the battlefield. I am stoked to play this card.
Dude, it's so bonkers.
I'm thrilled. So I'm going to try putting this deck together online this week. Ironically, on Magic Online, right? The deck is $50.92.
Nice.
According to Magic Online. Okay. Three Gorilla Shamans comes to $43.20.
Okay.
And it runs three Gorilla Shamans in the sideboard, and it runs four Pyroblasts. Pyroblasts are $17.69 or
Uh-huh.
So my math is not necessarily what it used to be, but 43 and 17 is 60. If I'm reading this correctly, if I were to take out the Gorilla Shamans and the Pyroblast, they're going to pay me $10 to play this deck on Magic Online.
Ah. All right.
So, I don't know. I'm excited to give this deck a shot. I'm going to try to get it this week. I'm actually waiting for a PayPal transfer to move some money to Card Hoarders so I can get this going. But, I don't know. If you out there are a fan of the Pauper format, love to know what kind of decks I should be looking at. These are formats that are kind of outside my normal ball work. I'm more of a standard player, more of a limited player. I don't really do a ton with things like Pauper. I'm a little better at Modern than I was, devoting a lot of time and energy to it. I don't play things like Legacy. I don't play Commander. I don't really play Tiny Leaders. So I need a lot of help.
Anymore.
I mean, I have two Tiny Leader decks still built, but I haven't played them in ages.
Right.
But I don't know. I'd love to those things. I don't know. Do you have any quick input, Travis?
Nah.
On something like a Pauper format?
On preferred format?
A Pauper format?
Oh, Pauper format? The only
decks I should check out in particular?
So the only Pauper decks that I have, or the only Pauper deck that I have right now, I do have two. Sweet. I have the red, the burn deck, because it's cheap and I already had it built for Modern. All I had to do was, take out the lands and the Eidolons for just different burn spells. Which, oh man, okay. That was difficult to find. and then, so I have that, and I have a Dimir Delve deck, kind of.
Okay.
But yeah, the Delve deck is pretty, pretty nuts, because Delver of Secrets, Brainstorm, Thought Scour, and then the Angler.
I was going to say, the Angler decks are really popular.
Yeah.
As near as I can tell in the format. Like you said, Brainstorm, Ponders, Thought Scours, Accumulate Knowledges. Like, all these things just feed into stuff like Angler and...
Oh, yeah, I don't have those at all.
You don't have AKs?
No, I don't have the Knowledge or and the then Ponder. I just have Thought
Scours. There's also... Isn't the new AK from Kaladesh. I think it's from Kaladesh. Maybe it's not from Kaladesh.
I have Take Inventory in mind.
Yeah, Take Inventory. That's the one. That's the new Accumulate Knowledge.
Yeah, which is incredibly good when you have, like, when you set up your brainstorm, and then you know you have one in your hand, and you're just like, yeah, no, these two can go to the graveyard with this thought scour I'm about to do, and then just draw three off of it.
Yeah, it's strong. Like you said, I think AKs, Take Inventories, they're very strong. So yeah, like I think you have a lot of options in here. Format's so crazy big. I'm not real sure what the best couple of decks are. And like I said, I have no problem getting into a deck that's like $10 or less on Magic Online.
Right.
To play for fun. Like, to me, that's about where I want to be. Or like I said, if you want to, you know, lend me a deck or send me a deck or donate a deck or whatever, you can totally do that. SamusGarobo.com or twitch.tv/SamusGarobo for my daily streams. And like I said, I think I'm going to try working out Mondays for Magic again. I took a little bit of a break on Magic because I was having a hard time keeping up with the cost. But I want to give it another shot again.
That's the reason I don't play it anymore.
Play Magic Online?
Yeah.
Being a Magic Online and an actual pen and or an actual physical
right
like, presence.
Playing it online and then playing it on paper is just it's just too much.
See, and especially, I almost wonder if I should be talking with Todd. Generate profit and have him, instead of paying me in cash or in trade-in or whatever, sending me money by PayPal. Might work out as a slightly better way for me to move some stuff into Magic Online. Because that's always been my hurdle, right? Is taking physical cards and turning them into Magic Online cards.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the thing I need to do. And maybe that will make life much easier. I don't know. Let's see. Anyway, if you'd like to send us an email, like Nathan, like so many others have in the past, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. And of course, you can also get a hold of Travis and I on Twitter. I'm Samus Garobo, and he is TurtlePower319. Of course, you can also track us down on Facebook with a little bit of effort. Again, I'm Samus Garobo, and he is Travis. If you track me down, you can find him. But I don't know, Travis. Like, I am at a spot where trying to play Magic Online Zone, and Factorio and Civilization VI, like, it's hard putting all these things in a week. And I wanted to devote more time to playing on Magic and getting better at Magic. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to be an LSV. I'm not going to be an Orin Turnwall or a Conley Woods. Like, I don't have a name. I'm just a hairy dude with the cutest little Pokemon shirt of all time. Right now, look at my guy. Look at Pikachu as Thor. Look at it.
I am. He's like Squirtle's Captain America.
Squirtle's Captain America. Bulbasaur's the Hulk. It's so cute. But I can't pull in these names. Like, I don't have a thing except for you guys. So please do me a solid. See if you can help us kind of make the move into some more Magic Online. I have riddles for you this week, my friend.
Okay, I'm listening.
I think that's what we agreed. All right, so there are three clues. So clue number one, I am the strongest in by far.
The strongest what?
One of the strongest in MTG by far. One of the strongest. Okay. Not only protect myself, I can wipe an opponent's field 6x6. And the last clue is beware, for you are doomed if you do not get rid of me.
It's either Chandra or Nicobolas.
Nay, it is Imrakul, the Aeon's Torn.
Where does the 6x6 come in?
It's got Annihilator 6, right, when it attacks?
It has Annihilator more than that, I think.
Annihilator 6.
Yeah, well.
I know. I didn't write these. I just found these. So, we have another one.
One of Chandra's ultimates is deals 6 damage to all creatures and all players, I think. Something like that.
But would you consider yourself doomed if you don't get rid of it?
Yeah. Because eventually she'll just burn you to death.
Would you consider her the strongest?
One of the strongest, yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying it's the only answer. I'm just saying that the guy who invented this bloody riddle, this is what he picked.
Because here's the thing. Imrakul loses to 15 squirrels.
Only if they have 6 other things for Annihilator.
Yeah.
And doesn't she also have flying? Don't they have to be flying squirrels?
Squirrels can fly. Don't be stupid.
Fly? Squirrels jump. They're mammals. All right. Are you ready for another
bats
one?
Bats fly.
No.
Yeah, they
don't
do.
Fly.
Bats fly.
They fly. They fall really well.
Humans
they're professional
fly.
Fallers. I mean, as a pilot, I can tell you we also are professional fallers.
Okay, well, bats still
He's
fly.
Trying to get me. Okay, fine. Bats fly. It's the only mammal that flies. Maybe Isn't a cow it? Can fly.
Yeah, I did see Twister.
Put it in a catapult.
I'm going to look up what flying mammals there are.
Okay. I'm a very common card used in many decks. I am a Clash of Lands all in one card. I am in many sets, including a twin of me. This is just a stupid riddle. Let's see if any of these were good. All right, skip this one. That's Terramorphic Expanse. It's terrible. Let's try this one. I am very strong as the world's soul. I will destroy your hope of winning before your opponent. My name explains what I do to you. Again, I'm not a huge fan of these riddles. I should have found some more. You're busy looking at flying mammals, aren't you?
Yeah. What was the answer?
Leveler. Because when you play the leveler, bad things happen, right? I was thinking something different, but the leveler. MTG! I know. I would like to find levels. If you're good at making riddles, send us some riddles. Alright, so Leveler is a... Oh, never mind. It's the 5-mana 10-10. When it enters the battlefield, you remove your life from the game. Fast. Also, it is now a Juggernaut.
Hmm.
There we go. Leveler. Well, Travis, do you have any final thoughts? Did you find any other flying mammals?
Nah, just the bats.
Just the bats. But a few trolls on the brew is baddie.
Ha, 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 fun. Troll on everybody.
Troll on everybody! What do you think of my Batman mask?
I think it would look like better if your face wasn't involved.
You're the best, my friend. I'll see you next week.
See ya.